Yes, yes. It's Valentine's Day, as Kathy reminds us every year. Welcome to the program tonight. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 7 past the hour. You know, we actually do have a couple of Valentines that were emailed to us. One from, let me see here. I'll get to him in a second. But actual Valentines. So, as opposed to not actual Valentines, I guess, right? I was watching Brian Williams tonight on the NBC Nightly News, and the lead story on Brian's program was the weather, or the teas. And he started out by saying he didn't say this, but you could tell he was fascinated with the warm weather. He made mention of the fact that flowers are blooming in February in places where they shouldn't be. And right before his program, I'm sure this was just one of those serendipitous moments, but right before his program, there was a commercial for these Breathe Right. Aren't those the little nose pad things? You put them on your nose and they pull your membranes apart. And the tagline of that commercial is, you have the right to breathe right. Now, call me crazy, but it just seems kind of ironic to me that you have the right to breathe right as a commercial right before Brian Williams says something is wrong with the weather. It's so warm. It's flowers are blooming. Guess what, Brian? This is something that a lot of people in the, you know, the left-wing hippie environmental movement has been talking about for quite a number of years. You have the right to breathe right. And then, of course, during NBC Nightly News, they run the commercial from the Petroleum Institute, the institutional commercial. You know, the woman, there she is again in the black pantsuit, who tells you how a million jobs will be created with the pipeline and natural fracking, gas, oil, jobs, energy, the tar sands, oil, making America energy independent. All of which are lies. But so, all right. Laura Flanders, who I'm sure you're familiar with, Grit TV and The Nation, and a former colleague of mine at Air America, she has a little piece in The Nation. And actually, it's a press release. But before she gets to the press release, she says, lest any of us forget, some people have plenty of money to throw around. Take Valentine's Day. Here's what one four-star hotel in Chicago was offering a couple of weeks ago, courtesy of a press release from the hotel publicist. Laura writes, I removed her name. Otherwise, the email is word for word. And note that the Valentine in this press release is assumed to be female. Okay, ready? Here's the press release. Do you want to make the ultimate gesture for Valentine's Day? Fairmont Chicago Millennium Park Hotel is offering a package that every starry-eyed couple will remember for a lifetime. Their $100,000 romantic getaway package includes everything your heart could desire. Guests will be transported to and from the airport for a luxurious two-night stay at the Presidential Suite. Upon arrival at the hotel, guests will be welcomed with a charming rose petal red carpet, a trail of roses from the foyer to the bed of roses, as well as 6 dozen roses throughout the Presidential Suite. After getting nestled into the room, the couple may choose to start the weekend with a Fairy Tale Moments Bubble Bath for Two, which includes crystal champagne and strawberries prior to a lavender-filled bath with rose petals surrounded by romantic candlelight. After a one-of-a-kind bubble bath, slip into cozy personalized robes and soft slippers. What Chicago trip would be complete without a little retail therapy? Guests will receive a $10,000 gift card to Saks Fifth Avenue, Chicago, and a VIP personal shopping experience in their exclusive Fifth Avenue Club. In addition to a one-of-a-kind shopping experience, your lucky lady will receive a stunning 18-carat white diamond and sapphire necklace from Marshall Pearson Company. This jaw-dropping piece of jewelry features 62 oval-cut sapphires, 22.54 carat weight, with pave diamond halos around each sapphire, weighing at a total of 5.83 carats of diamonds. After roaming the famous shops of Michigan Avenue, the couple will seclude into peace and tranquility by receiving an in-room 90-minute massage for two. Guests will also receive two amazing dining experiences, one of which is a chef's table for two at Aria. A breakfast du jour in bed is provided each morning, as well as full use of your own private butler throughout the entire two-night stay. Fairmont Chicago, Millennium Park Hotel's One Enchanted Moment is offered at $100,000 plus tax and is available February 10th through the 14th, 2012. P.S. from Laura, the publicist at the Fairmont Chicago Millennium Park Hotel, confirms this is not a parody.
Well, of course not. I think Newt Gingrich took Callista. wasn't there a line in there about the open-ended Tiffany's shopping spree?
Something.
Well, what would the tax be?
On $100,000? Well, we live in Chicago. It's 8%. That's another $8,000.
That's more than I would pay for a car.
Right. Well.
That's a hell of a night. You know what? You wouldn't need to have sexual relations because you already got it before.
You already get, you get screwed.
Handed over your Amex
you
card.
Get screwed as soon as you sign up for this thing.
Two nights.
Now, if it were three, it might
be. You could just go buy a house.
If it were three nights, it might be a good deal. But two?
There was no jet service anywhere. You didn't fly around the world or go to Paris or something. You just stay at the hotel, right? I'm not missing anything.
Well, you get it. You know, over Michigan Avenue. Remember the Miracle Mile? You can go over to...
I remember, but I don't remember it being paved with gold bullion.
Well, no, that's because you and I used to walk down Michigan Avenue and look in the windows.
with our duct-taped shoes held together.
And the tourists would come by.
The lowest paid media personality in Chicago.
The tourists would come by and try to put dollar bills in my pocket. It looks, I don't know what
Sometimes
it was.
Sometimes we got to keep them.
Maybe they could tell I worked at WLS.
The late shift.
All right, I have a real Valentine for you. When we come back, I don't know. I'm going to have to wait until the bottom of the hour for this one. Because this is from Alex in Oregon. And his Valentine is, have a heart, will you? And it's another very interesting piece of writing from Alex in Oregon. So we'll share that one with you when we come back. Well, we'll wait until the bottom of the hour. We'll do that because I don't want to have to break for commercials, if you know what I'm saying. All right.
I wonder how much the hotel itself costs.
Who knows? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. That's the hour. No, I love that music. The record industry just doesn't do a lot of that anymore, do they? Huh? Bring it up. Bring it up. That reminds you of high school, doesn't it, Kathy? Huh?
Well, okay, that was junior high.
Junior high. This is kind of weird. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, was in Lebanon back in October, when protesters showed up on the sidewalk outside his Manhattan home. He was in Beirut. And he told the Rupert Murdoch terror broadcast organization, quote, "That particular day I was in Lebanon, Beirut, doing business over there, and I was probably safer over there, too." He was safer in Lebanon than with the Occupy Wall Street protesters in front of his mansion. Oh, my God. Now, what happened, if you remember, back in October, the protesters marched to Diamond's home along with the homes of other uber-rich New Yorkers, including real estate developer Howard Milstein and hedge fund manager John Paulson. At the time, according to Huffington Post, I think, Diamond was likely meeting in the safety of Beirut's corporate conference rooms. But, you know, the city is in the region, the volatile region of the Middle East. It's Beirut, for God's sake. Violence is currently raging in Syria, Lebanon's neighbor, threatening to spill over into Lebanon. That's not going to take too much longer. It's real horror developing over there. But Jamie Dimon relates everything to him because he's, you know, like a billionaire. So everything is very important that goes on in the world if it relates to him. And he was in Beirut, and he heard the news that protesters were outside the homes of a bunch of the pig rich in New York. And, that just got him so worried. Oh, my goodness. These are not my friends. These are not the people I socialize with. These are not the people who take my picture and put them in the style section of the New York Sunday Times. Now, the odd part is that he told the Rupert Murdoch Terror Broadcast Organization that he agrees with some of the points of Occupy Wall Street. Yeah. He said, quote, "The institutions of America, broadly defined, let us down. And that includes Wall Street. It includes Washington for the most part. When you get beyond that and you blame us all equally, all politicians, all businesses, all banks, that's not accurate. And I think that leads to bad policy." End quote. Really? Really? He disagrees, you see, with the blame all the banks. Well, I would think so. Now, he said he agrees with the Occupy protesters' emphasis on income equality. This is a guy who got, in last year, he got $18 million in restricted stock options from J.P. Morgan. The top 1% of Americans saw their incomes grow 275% between 1975 and 2007, while the bottom fifth of earners saw a 20% boost during the same period. But he agrees with them. He agrees with them. Now, Diamond isn't the only big bank CEO to offer a slight endorsement of some of the Occupy movement's goals. Citigroup chief Vikram Pandit said in an October interview with Fortune that he thinks the protester sentiments are, quote, completely understandable. Keep repeating that when you hear the tumbrils turning and you realize that they are rolling into Zuccotti Park several guillotines. Just keep saying that, Vikram. The sentiments are completely understandable. Shroom!
Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
Oh. Twenty-five before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Janet Scapin. Thank you, Janet. Here's a message. Happy Valentine's Day. Simply wanted to celebrate the heart and soul of the Mike Malloy Show. Love to Mike and Kathy and Molly. Keeping it strong. Thank you. Love always from Jersey. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, Janet. Regarding Jamie Dimon in Beirut and how he felt safer there than in his own mansion while there were protesters outside his house in Manhattan, Prairie 2 writes, Jamie probably was serious. After all, he knows exactly what he's done and what his kind have planned for the rest of us. And he knows what would happen to him if the average American ever figured that out. Well, like I said, bring on the guillotine. All right, I have for you in my hand a Valentine from Alex in Oregon. The title is Have a Heart, will you? Happy St. Valentine's Day, named after a priest or bishop, maybe one of 14 or so, and quizzically, too, there have been no official allowances made for any holy man to hand over his heart of hearts to any live being on this earth. In any event, please have a heart, will you? So we can all take a breath and just share the love for a bit. We would do just as well to wish ourselves hearts bearing the full resources that the Valens, as in Valentine, name bestows. Valens, worthy, strong, powerful. We may need them, these traits, where we're all headed. God knows we can use all the love we can muster and gather down here on this cuckoo and confused orb we're all riding, guided and steered by crazy, clever primates, planet of the apes indeed. Now, we must share with you our heart's desires and make loving intervention, plead with you in our care and concern for you, our brothers and sisters, and in honor of this day, ask you to at the least hear us out. It is, after all, a fine day to have a heart. Funnily said, so you won't get angry right off, please stop putting your peanut butter on our chocolate. We'll do our best to keep our chocolate out of your peanut butter, okay? Less sweetly said, but with just as much heart, please keep your religion out of all our public lives, the ones financed by all of us, for all of us. You know, no matter what race, color, creed, religion, fair's fair. Public life belongs to all of us, so please stop trying to co-opt it all. The founders made no official religion on these new shores, and purposefully so, showing no religion any favor. Instead, they built a separation of church from the state, keeping the sacred and secular apart. Stop trying to undo that. Please, leave that alone. What you believe on your own time is just fine. It's all up to you. But please, have a heart. When you're out here in public, you're on our time. You're on our dime, not just your own. Please know that, as Derek Jensen wrote, quote, reality trumps all belief systems. What you believe is not nearly so important as what is real, end quote. If you will, please stop coming to our doors repeatedly and earnestly trying to convince us your beliefs are all true. We promise to not hound you with the good news that we're all freed from fanciful hells, but that the bad news is we're all free to make hells of our own based on what we choose to actually do and on what we select not to do. The only difference between cults and religions is the number believing, you know. And plenty of us are spiritual without being religious. Many of us think religion has almost poisoned the whole concept of spirituality. But we are spiritual just the same, and in ways you may never understand. Meanwhile, quite frankly, dear hearts, we resent the living hell out of your preaching to us inside our very own church, which for us is this world and this very life. Please stop clubbing us with your dogma. And we'll try not to flay you with your karma. For example, you don't want a gay marriage? Well, fine with us. Please don't have one. You want to pray in school? Fine, go ahead and do it silently. No one will stop you so long as you do what you have been instructed to do by your sacred texts, praying to your Father in private. Each one praying silently, alone. You don't want an abortion? Great. Then you should not have one. It's your life. It's up to you. But stop trying to decide for everyone else. Isn't it plain and obvious that anyone else's life is not about you? Not for you to try to live to? Do your own sacred texts not tell you this is so? There's more you need to hear, and with love, we say it. Men, especially, have no place in the discussion, save for whatever role women, one at a time, may choose to grant each or any of them. As a freedom protester's sign stated, no uterus, no vote. Do you get that? With even more heart now, as we get closer to religious bone, we all say, get out from between a woman and her doctor on private health matters. You once howled about the trumped-up fake possibility of big government getting in there between us and our health care, but now you want to insert your own self right there? We say this with love now. Look, many things exist in this world. Not one of them requires you to believe in them in order for them to exist or live or be. If you will please stop phrasing and framing your conversation that way, in what you choose to believe in or not, we will, in turn, stop insisting on the obvious, that life already exists with you or without you, with or without your beliefs. It's simply so. Please, take a look around. And by the way, if you insist on preaching politics inside your holy places, be ready for that tax-exempt status to be ripped away for all those buildings, all that land, all that wealth, because then, you see, you'll be operating as we all really do in the real world, in the public domain. You want to speak of this world? Hey, we're all for it. Please, brush up on your facts. Do some research. Let's start using scientific methods and facts. Please stop being childish, and let's discuss things the way adults, even yours, used to do. With reason and logic and facts. Finally, and this pains our hearts to ask, how long since you've applied those famous Ten Commandments to your own lives, to anyone you would so eagerly hand your public vote? These laws and your sacred books, they minced no words at all. There were no shades of gray, no grading on a curve. They were all specifically carved in stone. Or are these laws from God just to apply to everyone else around you and are never to apply directly to you? If you promise to live each day thinking you will have to explain it to God each and every night, we have much room for conversation, which is good. as there is so much good we can all still do down here, good to do for everyone, not just for a select few. This is tough love, and it's very difficult to do, but there's no better day to do it than today, when the message is all about love. If we are all going to move ourselves and our family and friends forward, we must start speaking with each other in ways we can all understand. If we are to get out of these damnable life jams we are now all of us in here in the year of our hysterical mass insanity 2012, we must all now openly speak only of things we can all see and hear and know and touch. Do so for your children, our grandchildren, and such. If this family of humanity is to go forward, is to keep moving up and over this miserable rise of madness all around us, you must come forward too, as part of our group, as part of this family, because you are a part of it. You are needed here too. Please know that we love you. We hope that someday you will really know and accept this is true. Someday, we all hope you will understand. A Valentine from Alex in Oregon. And you can probably find this at tvnewslies.org at some point. I would imagine Reg will post it. Well, that was nice. Following on the heels of Janet Scaffin's wish, Happy Valentine's Day, simply wanted to celebrate the heart and soul of the Mike Molloy Show. Love to Mike and Kathy and Molly, keeping us strong. Thank you. Love always from Jersey. Thank you, Janet. We'll be right back.
Angry, then you're not paying attention. Back to Mike Molloy.
Before the hour, yeah, it's Valentine's Day. This hour has been sponsored by Janet Scaffin. She has a message, Happy Valentine's Day. Simply wanted to celebrate the heart and soul of the Mike Molloy Show. Love to Mike and Kathy and Molly. Keep us strong. Thank you. Keeping us strong. Thank you. Love always from Jersey. Yeah, thanks, Janet. That's very sweet. Thank you very much. Speaking of Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan Chase, Kay Petrini, our educational affairs correspondent, who is a school teacher, used to work in the belly of the beast. She did. She writes, "Hey, Mike, I laughed out loud when I heard the segment on one of last week's podcasts regarding J.P. Morgan and their commitment to honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. while simultaneously foreclosing on an elderly woman who was active in the civil rights movement who was unable to make her mortgage payment." By the way, I think that woman was in her mid-80s, right, Kay? Kay goes on, When I worked at that hellhole, I mean investment bank, back in the early 90s, they were eager to convince the outside world that they were on the cutting edge of social awareness. To that end, they implemented a diversity committee, which they showcased in their newsletter, along with a photo of the 8 individuals who had been selected. Every member but one was a white man. And the one exception was a white woman. Yeah, that's diversity, according to the blue-blooded elitist criminals who are largely responsible for wrecking this economy. But I guess as a teacher now, I should keep my mouth shut, because the word on the street is that the problem really lies with educators and firefighters and cops and nurses and those receiving unemployment benefits. K. Diversity training. 8 white men and a white woman. Oh, my God. Oh. Woo! And I got an email from Lori here, too. Get a lot of emails. She writes, "Mike, the so-called religious freedom objections to adequate and accessible health care follow the propaganda line thus, quote, 'You are not allowed to impinge on our power to impose our religiosity on anyone whom we can. To do so would limit our freedom of religious expression, which includes, of course, our God-given right to intimidate anyone who doesn't toe our ideological line,' end quote." Let's face it, Mike, this appeal to false religiosity is the last resort of an ideology, the neocon plutocracy that is searching for allies among those whose own worldview is without substance itself. In other words, Christianist conservatism. This is truly an alliance spawned in the hell of human ignorance. As progressives, our major mistake is to confront the false arguments spawned from this alliance as if they were truly held. They are not. They are the defensive spasms of feral, vicious rodents like Bush, Cheney, Rove, and Gingrich, and the rest of them! Oh, I like that sentence. I listen to you nightly, knowing that you speak the truth, but horrible truth. The vermin are ascendant, and we are at their mercy as they are in league with the ignorant, power-bloated redneck masses. Keep it real, Lori." Woo! Lori, that is some weighty writing. I agree with all of it, of course. And this is from Michael. The subject line says, "Catholics, oi." He writes, "My daughter is being received into the Catholic Church this Sunday. I will be giving her a sympathy card. I raised her as an Episcopalian. We ordain women. We aren't concerned with a person's sexual orientation. We are pro-choice, and all are welcome at the table. The Catholics are crazy. All thought of separation of church and state has been thrown out the window. We are in real straits here. All the fear about the Muslims instituting Sharia law? There's no difference here. As one can see in this pregnancy control debate, this is yet again a diversion. What are the Catholics getting? I really appreciate your voice, Michael." Oh, this is from Leslie. "I really appreciate your voice, Michael." Thank you, Leslie. Thanks for listening. Thanks for writing. All right, we have a break. When we come back, we shall proceed with the evening's programming. And your phone calls, if you would like to get in here and join us on Valentine's night. The number is 877-996-2556. Oh, my God. ABBA. Valentine's 2012. So Kathy has programmed love music into the program tonight, which I don't know. I really like it. I really do. And a different time, a different place. I really thrived. I love that music. But it just seems so incongruous with the program now, doesn't it? Everything has gotten so loud and intense and profane and screaming and yelling. And I'm just talking about me. I don't know what to do about it, though. I really don't. I get like you do. I just get so furious about what the neo-fascists, the neocons, the conservatives, whatever you want to call them, what they're doing to this country, what the goal is to get rid of Obama simply because he's Obama. They don't have an issue with drone aircraft. They don't have an issue with ending habeas corpus. They don't have an issue with any of that. You know, stuff that Obama has signed off on. That's just business as usual to these right-wing sons of bitches. They don't like the fact that his skin is different color from theirs. They don't like the fact that he's young and handsome, has a gorgeous wife, and more or less gives him the finger. Just clunks right along doing what Barack Obama does. But they'll do anything. This is like the right wing when they went off after FDR. I mentioned that to you last night. Remember that piece I shared with you? This hour is sponsored by Amanda. I'm sorry, Alma, not Amanda, Alma. And she writes... Oh, this is to Molly, Kathy. Thank you, Molly, for your contributions to your mom and daddy's program. This is for your further educational pursuits. Much love and encouragement to you, my dear Brownie. Oh, isn't that sweet? Thank you, Alma. That's very kind. That's very kind. We'll save that and show it to Molly in the morning when she's having her oatmeal. Before we go to your calls, from Bruce Enberg, from Prairie 2, subject line, it's only 8 months till October. Bruce writes, evening news starts almost every day with a scary story about the price of gas going to $5 a gallon by Memorial Day and how bad that would be for the economy. They usually follow with a story about Iran threatening to block the Straits of Hormuz, or maybe that will be the lead story today. They don't mention that currently the largest manufactured export from the United States is gasoline. The oil companies are even closing refineries because they can't get rid of enough gasoline to justify running them. But still, the corporate media dutifully reports that the so-called shortage of gasoline is driving up the price. The truth is that oil companies and Wall Street banks are trying to carry through on their threat to take down Obama if he doesn't play ball. Indeed, the media are playing up the potential damage to the economy if the price of gas actually goes up as much as predicted. The really scary news stories quote unnamed sources as promising $6 a gallon gas by midsummer or even higher. The problem is that these are exactly the same stories they ran this time last year. It's true that gasoline is a bit higher than this day last year and has just jumped by 40 cents recently, but still below the high last year. The thing about commodity price increases is that they eventually get incorporated into the economy and cease to have any real effect. The prices of consumer products that ran up last year with these promises of high gas prices were even coming down again as the price slid below $3 a gallon briefly. That's not to say that there aren't millions of people suffering, but it's not really about the price of gasoline. The suffering comes from depressed wages and from national policies that only favor the 0.1% of Americans. If the minimum wage was $14 an hour, like it was from 1938 until 1980, when adjusted for inflation, and skilled factory jobs paid $63 an hour, like they do in Germany, we wouldn't be worried that much about $5 a gallon gas. The price of gas probably has a lot to do with current efforts by Republicans to ram the Keystone XL pipeline through Congress. Republicans are hoping they can tie it to something else that Democrats won't give up. The current deal on the FICA tax cut extension and unemployment benefits is rumored to be going through without anything attached to it, but that seems unlikely to persist. On the other hand, maybe there is a consensus among the cockroaches that it's time to skitter back under the refrigerator until the kitchen light goes out again. Approval of Congress is down to 10%, but that's an average. For Republicans, it's even lower. According to recent polling, 20% of registered Republicans are actually leaning toward voting for Obama. It's possible they may simply let go of their never give an inch stance until after the election in order to minimize their electoral losses. The chances of Democrats actually fixing the economy on a permanent basis is slim at best. There's still all that lobby money sloshing around. The Republicans can count on Americans forgetting everything that they've done. In another 4 years, Republicans can again promise trickle-down prosperity. Still, there is an October, the month of surprises, between now and the election, so we probably shouldn't count the Republicans out just yet. PrairieNumeral2.com. Gasoline. Yeah, do you you watch your local news? I do sometimes when I just simply can't stand it anymore. I'll switch to the local news so I can get all the stories about all the people being murdered in Atlanta. You know, that always gives me a lighthearted feeling, takes my mind off the Straits of Hormuz and Soviet nuclear container ships catching on fire and the Keystone pipeline and blah blah blah. Yeah, when you watch local news, they just tell you who's been shot, who got dead, and you know, robberies here. And the thing, you know what I like, what I really like, I don't know how it is in your market, but here in the Atlanta area, they'll be right in the middle of a newscast on the leading local station, which is the ABC affiliate. And right in the middle of the newscast, they'll be talking about something. Then, breaking news from DeKalb County, and then they go to their chopper. And they'll say, a tree has fallen on a car. And when you look at the video, live video from Chopper 2, you see a tree across the hood of a car. No damage now. A tree falling on a car, killing people, happens with alarming regularity here in the South because we had years and years and years of drought. And then, heavy rains, and now we get winds. You know, with climate change, a lot of damage is occurring because of wind and falling trees. But when they break away from the regular newscast of all the shootings and robberies and muggings and burglaries and crime committed by the local legislators and the school board is collapsing and so on and so forth, and tell you they have breaking news, and then they switch to the copter. Action News 2 helicopter. And they show you a car with a little tree across the hood. We'll keep you updated as the story progresses. Right now, let's go to Glenn Burns and the weather. Glenn, well, it looks like there might be a dusting of maybe something that looks a little bit like snow in the far North Georgia Mountains up there near North Carolina. Oh, my God.
Well, then followed by, stay tuned to Action 2 News for minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour, second-by-second updates of what might be a smattering of snow somewhere about 400 miles north. I've never seen a more weather-crazy city.
Well, it can only get worse. All right, we'll be back and take your phone calls right after this break that's supposed to start now if the machine's off. Oh, there it is! A great story for Valentine's Day. Anonymous has marked the Bahrain protest by hacking the company in the United States that makes tear gas. The article says much of the tear gas that billowed through Bahrain's streets Monday, and throughout the Arab Spring for that matter, was made by a Pennsylvania-based company called Combined Systems. So to mark the anniversary of protests in Bahrain, Anonymous took Combined Systems' website offline and dumped its employee and client data on the web. The Combined Systems website was unresponsive this morning, as were the websites for surveillance hardware manufacturer Sewer Tech, Thompson Handcuffs, and weapons maker Penn Arms, all of which Anonymous claimed credit for knocking offline. The Loosenet Hacking Collective, Anonymous, promised more such attacks today, tweeting, "Stay tuned for more Valentine's Day hacks. Have you enjoyed the show so far?" The answer is yes. How do you work at a company, seriously now, how do you work at a company that produces toxic substances, whether they're tear gas or crowd control devices that you know are going to be used against people who are rebelling because of the police state tactics that are being applied to them, whether those people are in Oakland, California, or Homs, Syria, or wherever? How do you do that? How do you go home at night and say to your spouse, yeah, we made 800 canisters of tear gas today, knowing that the people who are going to be tear gassed will include men and women old men, old women, young women, pregnant women, children, and that the tear gas that you just manufactured or assisted manufacturing will be used to cause great pain and suffering and disorientation so that the troops can move in and open fire and murder hundreds. How do you do that? How do you do that? Is it just a matter of survival? You make choices. I think I will throw my neighbor to the wolves so the wolf doesn't come in and eat me. Is it that? Is it some sort of perverted utilitarianism that suggests that for the greater good, some people in, pick a location, have to be gassed and beaten, shot, killed, murdered, thrown in prison forever, brutalized, hanged? How do you work for a tear gas company knowing that the product you're making, you can see the effects of your product thanks to social media on your television news every night? There it is. Hey, look, there's the tear gas we made. Look. I mean, is there a pride in that? Is there some kind of, is it like watching a movie that was shot in your hometown and you say, oh, look, there's the park. Oh, look, oh, my God, it's the restaurant. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Right? Is there that kind of wee golly gee moment when you see the tear gas that you helped manufacture that day being used that night or next week to make people sick and fall down so they can be more conveniently clubbed and beaten and shot? I don't know, man. I don't know. How do you do that? So more power to the loosely identified group called Anonymous. Or the loose group, or the group of loosely connected people referred to as Anonymous. Keep hacking. All right, we have we got time. Let me get Sanchez in here real quick. Hey, Sanchez, let's chat for a minute. We'll come back after the break. What's up?
Well, love and light to you, Kathy, Molly, and the rest of the members of the Mike Malloy Truth Seeker Orchestra this evening.
Well, thank you very much, Sanchez.
Yesterday, in particular, you were talking about the sweetheart deal that Eric Holder gave the banksters about, and as a result of that, today, the National Occupy Movement, we could talk about that for quickly a second here.
Sure.
They declared today the breakup with your bank day.
Yeah.
Locally, I just wanted to send out a local Valentine shout out to the members of Occupy LA, in particular Cheryl Achille and Carlos Manakin, but the rest of the members in particular, they did a great job. They showed up today in Victorville, California, which is, I guess, about 75 miles outside of Los Angeles on your way to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a demonstration. Now, you talk about this guy that did the letter saying, have a heart.
Yeah.
Today there was a Valentine's Day foreclosure auction on an Iraq war veteran's home.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hey, hold on a second, Sanchez.
Okay.
Let me put you on hold. We got a Valentine's Day auction on an Iraq war veteran's foreclosed home. I mean, can it get any rottener than that? I mean, seriously, can it?
If you're not this angry, then you're not paying attention. Back to Mike Malloy.
Stop taking Chantix if you notice swelling of your face, mouth, or throat. God. 25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Alma. Thank you, Alma. And she writes, thank you, Molly, for your contributions to your mom and papa's program. This is for your further educational pursuits. Much love and encouragement to you, my dear Brownie. Oh, that's so sweet. I'll show that to Molly in the morning. She always wants to know, did anybody write to you and say they liked my commercial? Yes, Molly. Sanchez, all right.
Hey, Molly has a groovy little commercial.
Doesn't she? So yeah. You're heading, what's this about, Wells Fargo?
This deal that they had going was a foreclosure auction on Valentine's Day.
Right.
And in particular, the one that the members of Occupy LA showed up on. This gentleman, his name is Sergeant Anthony Chavoya, and he's a 14-year member of the year member of the military. He did three tours of Iraq, and through a pay mix-up, he fell behind on his payments, which is easy to do. I mean, you know, everybody's living from paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
So he enlisted the help of the local Occupy LA members. They showed up today. A whole bunch of them showed up. I mean, like I said, Victorville's like 75 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And with the help of a phone call to the local Wells Fargo representative, one of our LA Occupy LA members had a contact. So through some very good talk, they were able to at least delay the auction, which is good news for the sergeant and his family,
mm-hmm.
so they're able to sleep at night. Because, I mean, that's going through a lot of stress, not knowing where you're going to be sleeping the following night or if you're going to have a home or not, you know?
Yeah, well, and the you know the irony, I'm sure it's not lost on you, Sanchez. Here's a guy who spent all those years in the military, and because of the nature of how the military is used in these times, if he were... If he was assigned to combat areas, he was, yes, putting his life on the line. Yes, he was, sacrificing, but it wasn't for the, the people of the United States. It was for corporate America and then corporate, and especially the banks that speculate on oil and, other commodities. So when this man comes home, how do the banks thank him? They pull his life out from under his feet and kick him to the curb. That's the part that just makes me goddamn furious. That's mm-hmm. the part that makes me just want to, you know, pick up a club and start swinging. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's bad enough to have spent 19 of, years of your life, doing something under false pretenses. I'm not saying that this, the soldier was some kind of a thug or a fool. But I am saying that, you know, regardless of what his motives were, it might have been patriotism. It might have been thinking that he was really defending the United States when in fact he was doing nothing of the sort. He was working, for these corporate predator cockroaches. And then, like I said, they show their appreciation by kicking him to the curb. What are you going to do, Sanchez? I mean, what are you going to do with that, right?
Well, at least the members of Occupy LA showed up and, I don't know. I posted a link, our local Channel 4 Los Angeles KNBC outlet did cover it. I'm not sure if this clip came in or not, but somebody was quoting, well, you know, he defended our country. I know it's oversimplistic to say it that way, but he defended our country, and right. Now it's time to defend his home.
Right. Well, you can make that argument because that's what the American people are told. And I think it was Chino, California, instead of Victorville, wasn't it?
Victorville?
I just got an email from somebody who said it was Chino.
Okay.
Instead of Victorville.
It might be Chino then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little closer into town.
Right.
So nevertheless, that was a good deed done today from the LA members, and it deserves attention here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing in parallel and tandem to something that you were just talking about the bomb makers, the tear gas makers, remember a couple of years ago during the Israeli-Palestinian, the last war that lasted, what was it, 30 days, 35 days, something like that?
Right, right.
Al Jazeera did a report about a small town in Arkansas that made the white phosphorus bombs that were being used on the Palestinians. Mm. And they asked the people the question, did you know that the product that you guys are making up there is being affected and killing the people, especially the children of Palestine?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people just shrugged their shoulders, you know. They were going bowling and doing the things that, you know, good sheeple are doing. you know, this is what not only the members of Occupy LA, not only Anonymous, not only your program, but all of Progressive Radio, talk about Valentine's Day, talk about a basic fundamental thing here, Senor, love. We're doing this out of love because we love mankind, we love the earth, and we believe in the future. And this is why we're doing this here, to talk about this, to try to bring enlightenment to these people that don't quite understand it. Sure, it's frustrating. Sure, you know, a lot of times it sounds negative. Last night, Senor, you offered 10 alternatives,
right.
10 positive reasons. So you do this out of love, and you just got to keep moving forward. That's because, you know, that's what I see in the people's eyes of Occupy LA, love and determination. And that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. You were able to see. I think you're old. Well, I don't think you're old enough, but
I'm an old timer, man. 55.
Well, that's still not quite old enough to see that in the eyes of the protesters back in the mid '60s. It was the same thing. It was love of justice. It was love of equality of opportunity. It was love of respect for the human rights of people halfway around the world that we were napalming.
Right.
So, in the same, yeah, I know what you mean. And it's a shame that the right wing monsters who run this country now and who ran the country then don't understand that. They look at people who are putting themselves on the line out of love for their planet, their home, their fellow human beings. And, you know, even saying that, you can just hear the cynical, you know, chuckling like, oh, Jesus Christ, a bunch of dirty, filthy hippies. Why don't you all go get a job? You know, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. I don't know how the human species that is now, covers the earth, how we can be so different in the way, especially let's just take our tribe in this on this continent,
right.
How we can be so different in how we interpret the reality that pours into our brains every day. You know, you and I and so many people look at it as we've got to resist for the sake of justice.
Exactly.
Other and the same members of the same or the members of the same human race will say, you bunch of goddamn hippies, you know, why don't you, like I said, why don't you go get a job? I mean, that's as far as they can think. How did that happen? How did there be such a split? I don't get that, Sanchez.
Well, I would be happy to go get a job if there was one available.
Well,
but you know, where all those jobs have gone.
Right. But I mean, the mere fact that somebody would say that, you know, rather than see what's going on, just look at people who are determined and dedicated to justice and human rights and yell at them, why don't you go get a job? You know, what the hell do you think I'm doing? I may not be working for some slave master like you are, but I have a job. It's called trying to raise consciousness, you know, trying to, you know, marching through the streets, going out to a foreclosure hearing and putting my body on the line to stop the bastards. That's a job.
Yeah.
God, I'm yelling. I promised I wouldn't yell on Valentine's Day, but there I go.
Well, it's just the synchronized screaming that we're doing here as part of your Valentine's Day package, right?
I guess
available
it,
for what, $50 tonight? So what?
I guess it is, Sanchez. All right, I got to move on. Thanks,
anyway,
Bill.
Keep it going, man. It's all about love.
Watch out for the tear gas canisters.
And keep your head low.
I'll talk to you later, Sanchez. Thank you very much. Oh, Lord. Jeremy's in Burlington, Vermont. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. Happy Valentine's to you and yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Back at you.
Sure. I wanted to talk to you about a little something off topic for the moment, but I don't know if you heard, Adele is a British singer
from
Britain, of course, who this week won 6 Grammys, and she defies everything that music is.
I know what you're going to say about her YouTube song about Newt.
No, actually, it has nothing to do with Newt. I'm just giving her props because she doesn't go with what the popular culture says you have to be.
Well, if you
want to be...
I'll tell you, Jeremy, I thought you were going to say there's a thing up on YouTube. You've got to see this. It's Adele at the Grammys the other night, and she's singing a song, and it appears that what she's singing is just a complete takedown of Newt Gingrich. So just go to YouTube, type in Adele Gingrich, and you will be stunned at what you see.
I'll do it as soon as I get off the phone.
Okay. But yeah, I'm real familiar with her music. I love her music.
I just wanted to say good to her for going against what everyone says you have to be.
Yeah.
She's a good person, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay, Mike, have a good night.
All right, Jeremy, look that up. Do it, really. I'm telling you, you'll just, it's astonishing. YouTube, Adele Newt or Adele Gingrich, it's phenomenal. We'll be right back. This hour has been sponsored by Alma. Thank you, Alma. And her message is to Molly. Thank you, Molly, for your contributions to your mom and papa's program. This is for your further educational pursuits. Much love and encouragement to you, my dear Brownie. I'm going to save that and show that to Molly. How's that? Thanks, Alma. It's very sweet. There was something... coming up next hour, I hadn't done this. I was reading it and getting ready to do this this evening. It's a little tiny tad about Smedley Butler, United States Marine Corps, but not really. But I want you to stick around for it. And then news from Augusta, Maine. There's a coalition of Maine health and environmental groups. And they're getting ready to launch the next campaign against, I think it's bisphenol A, BPA. That's the coating inside of cans that causes cancer and other things. So we are going to talk about what's going on in Maine next hour, and also... something I want you to hear. So stick around. Mark is in San Francisco. Hello, Mark.
Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Good.
Yeah, it's getting tougher and tougher all the time.
I hear that.
You know, this Grover Norquist says he doesn't care what candidate is, the nominee. Just so it's a Republican that will sign whatever his teabag Congress or, Republican Senate bills that he sends up to him will sign. Like the Paul Ryan plan or more of their tax breaks for the rich. This guy is running the Republican Party. So anybody that's Republican that thinks you have a legitimate party, you don't. Your party is run by a lobbyist.
Mm.
And it's a disgrace. This guy is an absolute disgrace. Anybody that signed his pledge, if they start speaking, Mike, I plug my ears.
Yeah.
They got nothing to say that I want to hear, nothing.
Yeah,
and that's what we have in this country. We got a party that is owned by a lobby, or is run by a lobbyist, and is owned by the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a bunch of idiots in this country that keep putting them in office over and over again. And they're just going to out to destroy us. That's all they're going to do is kill the middle class. It's so frustrating that this guy.
It is.
It
is. And it's not. This should not be a surprise to most of us. The Republican Party has been devolving into this cesspool of lobbyists and religious fanatics and neo-fascists for about 40 years now, and this is a result. Boy, I'll tell you. You take a look at any. Candidate out there on the Republican side who wants to be president, I've never seen such a collection of half-wits. I mean, these people are just an obscenity. And then when you realize, you know, poll after poll after poll says that the American people now approve of what the Congress is doing. 10% of us approve. 90% say no or have no opinion. And that is almost, I hate to say it, because I don't have a whole lot of respect for Democrats either because they're so goddamn cowardly. But that 10% rating is a result of 8 years of Bush and 3 years of Obama with Republicans controlling, for the most part, the legislative branch of government. That's why the approval rating of Congress is around 10%. You know, when I was a kid, and maybe when you were a kid, it was in the 60-70%. People respected their Congress. That was the lawmaking body. That was the body that suggested how the country should be, or actually funded how the country was going to be run. What was the old saying? The president proposes, the Congress disposes. And, you know, I was brought up in that. So to see this hideous mass of squirming neo-fascists and religious fanatics that have taken over the Republican Party, it's just a shock, you know?
You know, Mike, it's gone so far to this extreme, but it's brought about because they've pledged to this lobbyist.
Right.
So the whole Congress, it's corrupt. There is no democracy in that party. We have no democracy when we have a lobbyist that is running a political party in this country. And we don't have a democracy when we have that either.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have, Mike, is we've gotten to the point right now, it's an extreme, the most extreme, you know, we'll probably ever see, that a party has been taken over by corporations and the 1% of this country. And there is no democracy in that party. There's none at all. It's being run by a lobbyist. There's no representation. He doesn't care who the candidate is, whether he can lead the country, whether he can help the country. All he's interested in is if he'll sign over the middle class to the 1%. That's all that guy cares about.
Mm-hmm.
And until people in this country understand what the Republican Party is out to do to all of us, we're in big trouble, Mike.
Right, I
big
hear
trouble.
You.
And you know something else about the, I'm Catholic like you are, at least I came up that way, but what makes me so mad about the Catholic Church is they never said anything about torture. They never said anything about the illegal war that Bush started in the Republicans. Never said anything about the transfer of wealth from the middle class to the rich. You know, the Republican Party is just basically, you know, violated all the Ten Commandments, and yet the Catholic Church sits back and lets this go on.
Oh, I know.
As long as you talk about, you know,
birth control pills.
Yeah.
All right. Then everything's okay. Mark, I have to leave it there. And listen, I'm not Catholic. I wasn't raised one. But I appreciate what you had to say. Thank you, Mark. I hope you call again. And by the way, I hope I made it clear. The Adele YouTube presentation where she is singing at the Grammy Awards, it's a parody. I'm not suggesting it, but it's so well done. So check it out. YouTube, Adele Gingrich or Adele Newt. Check it out during the break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. hour is being sponsored by Craig Schwartz. His message, Mike, I enjoy listening to your show. You cause me to think. I don't agree with your point of view most nights, but I do think it's important that your point of view has a chance to be heard. I hope you will accept my contribution. Continued success. Thanks, Craig. Welcome back. You know, it's 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. You know, when you listen to the Republicans, whether they're candidates for the presidency or candidates for the county commissioner, they always talk about, boy, you gotta get rid of all those regulations. All those rules that are put on American industry, job killers, so on and so forth, right? Here's one. This is from the Bangor Daily News, Bangor, Maine. And you can find this at tvnewslies.org. That's where I found it. I get their news summary every morning. You all, too, also, tvnewslies.org. But anyway, this was in there. And it's from the Bangor Daily News, a coalition of health and environmental groups in Maine is preparing to launch the next campaign against, how do you say this, bisphenol A? Is that it? BPA? I think it's bisphenol. It couldn't be bisphenol. It's got to be bisphenol A. BPA, you know what it is. That's the stuff that coats the insides of containers, food containers. Now, the reason this coalition is going to launch this campaign is because of tests that found this additive in 11 of 12 samples of baby food in Maine. This is why another reason I rail so often and loudly and frequently to the point where you're probably disgusted with it against capitalism. Because capitalism doesn't give a goddamn about what's in the baby food. They just want to sell the baby food. There can be horse droppings in the baby food. They don't care. Make a profit. Now, additionally, members of this coalition have discovered and are now accusing some prominent baby food manufacturers of violating or attempting to get around Maine's BPA disclosure rules. I mean, yeah, I'm laughing so I don't scream. I know you hate the screaming. About 6 weeks ago, these new rules took effect, banning the use of BPA in children's sippy cups and other reusable food or beverage containers that are sold in Maine. And earlier today, there was an announcement made which, in effect, petitions state regulators to extend that prohibition to containers that hold baby food, instant formula, and food marketed to toddlers. Amanda Sears, who's the Associate Director of the Environmental Health Strategy Center, which is a member of the Alliance for Clean and Healthy Maine. Ooh, one of those left-wing groups. You can always tell. The Alliance for a Clean and Healthy Maine. Who wants a clean and healthy Maine? Can I see some hands? Oh, a lot of citizens' hands going up. But what about the capitalist pigs that are doing this? No hands. No hands at all. No surprise. Amanda Sears, who is the associate director of the center, said, quote, BPA coming from diet is a significant source of exposure, and that is mostly coming from food containers, end quote. Now, what does BPA do? What is bisphenol A? Is that how you say it, Kathy? Bisphenol? I guess so. The Alliance for Clean and Healthy Maine, there's that left-wing group again, said recent tests proved that BPA is leaching into baby food. Now, what does BPA do? Well, learning disabilities, reproductive problems. Of course, if you dump enough of this into the containers, you don't need to argue about birth control, right? Cancer and that old bugaboo obesity. This stuff is leaching into baby food, and that's because BPA, in addition to being used as a hardening agent in plastics, is commonly used to make the epoxy liners that form a barrier between the metal in cans or lids and the food in those containers. Now, you have been advised, as have I, not to use canned tomato products. Tomato paste, tomato sauce, canned tomatoes, tomato chunks, tomato bits, tomato sludge, tomato this, tomato that, that you find in your friendly grocer's shelves. And the reason being, because of BPA and the acid that is so prevalent in tomato products. It eats through or releases or changes or anyway, you get it into your system, BPA. Now, the organization, you know, that left-wing group, the Alliance for a Clean and Healthy Maine, a job-killing left-wing group. Imagine that, Alliance for a Clean and Healthy Maine. How dare they? They sent away, for testing, a dozen samples of baby food, as well as three types of canned food marketed to young children, including Chef Boyardee macaroni and cheese. Oh, my God, how many American moms serve that glop, that filth, that putrid mass to their children, right? And Campbell's Dora the Explorer soup. Dora the Explorer soup? Really? Have you ever heard of that, Kathy?
So much garbage.
It's just Dora the that's like the Hamburglar or something. It's like Ronald McDonald. Anyway, of the 12 baby food samples, 11 of them, and of the three canned foods, all of them tested positive for BPA. Now, the baby food manufacturers include Beechnut, Gerber, Earth's Best Organic, what? And Wild Harvest Organic. What's in a name? Was that Shakespeare? What's in a name? Earth's Best Organic and Wild Harvest Organic products, baby food, getting into your little junior or little juniorette's digestive system may be causing down the road learning disabilities, reproductive problems, cancer, and obesity. Earth's Best Organic and Wild Harvest Organic. Now, Wild Harvest Organic and maybe Earth's Best Organic are marketed by the Shaw's supermarket chain. I'm not familiar with that. Must be in Maine. Gerber recently stopped using BPA in containers. Of course, that leaves all those containers out on the shelves. Well, you know, we're not going to do anything about that. I mean, Jesus, God, what do you want us to do? Recall them? Oh, and Earth's Best Organic has pledged to stop using the chemical by October. What is this? February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. 8 months. So, by their own admission, for the next 8 months, they're going to be putting this crap into baby food containers that can cause your child to die at a young age, neuroblastomas, all kinds of childhood cancers, all kinds of... but they'll get it all out by next October. Now, Amanda Sears and her organization did not release details yesterday about the levels of BPA found in the baby food, because I'm sure the industry will tell you that there are healthy levels, right? Or non-toxic levels. Well, if it's 12 parts per million, pick a number. If it's 12 parts per million, it's okay. Your baby can eat this toxin. If it's 14 parts per million, your baby will die. So we try to keep it under 12. Huh? That's why we have so many chemists working for a food company.
always gonna be a delicacy. So lick your chops and eat the meat.
Has he mentioned yet tonight? Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's Mike Malloy.
Well, he's right in the process of doing it. 21 past the hour. All right. In Maine, manufacturers of baby food and some not baby food are refusing to go along with orders in that state to stop using bisphenol A or BPA. Because it does all kinds of bad things. It causes reproductive problems, learning disabilities, cancer, obesity. It's leaching into baby food. don't laugh. BPA is, in addition to being used as a hardening agent in plastics, it's commonly used to make the epoxy liners that form a barrier between metal and cans or lids and foods and those kind of, you've seen that. You know, you open up a can of something and it's plastic on the inside. It's not really, it's an epoxy, but it has BPA in it. And BPA will kill you and kill your children and kill your nieces and nephews and your grandmother and your auntie and you know, just kill everybody. But it keeps the food looking nice and prevents rust. Remember, you have to be over a certain age for this, but I do remember every once in a while my mother would open up a can of something and there would be rust on the inside. And of course she'd throw it away. We wouldn't eat it. Especially, I think it was canned, well, there's something that was horrible to this day. I can't eat them. Oysters. Canned oysters. So many times she would open up a can of oysters and it would be rust. Well, this wonderful substance called BPA, bisphenol A, bisphenol. You didn't look that up for me, Kathy? Bisphenol, BPA? Oh, well. This wonderful chemical stops the rust. It just kills you with cancer, especially your children. Now, BPA came under heavy scrutiny in recent years, and a growing collection of medical studies suggests that this chemical poses risks to children and developing fetuses. Now, where are the right-wingers on this one? Come on, you rat bastards. Come on, where are you? You refuse to allow a woman to have private consultations with her physician about what to do with the fetus. Here's something that is destroying the fetus, causing it to grow oddly, causing it to have future cancer. And come on, protect the fetus, you right-wing sons of bitches. Where are you? You're no more interested in protecting a fetus than I'm interested in protecting your grandmammy. What you are interested in doing is interjecting yourself and subjugating women, interjecting yourself into private matters that you don't understand. So, damage to developing fetuses. Here's your issue. Come on, you right-wingers that hate Planned Parenthood. Here you go. Hello? Anybody out there? No? Oh, okay. Never mind. The chemical industry, meanwhile, of course, continues to defend BPA as safe and points out that such major government entities as the World Health Organization have said it would be premature to impose restrictions on the chemical. You like that wording? Premature to impose restrictions on the chemical. Now, this debate, if that's what it is, there's always a debate, see? The science is on one hand and garbage snot is on the other hand. But, you know, it's a debate. We got to present the facts and the fiction. Here's Barack Obama's birth certificate. Oh, that's not real. Oh, well, then let's give both sides of that argument equal time. Hoo-hoo! The debate on this issue occasionally crosses into the political realm, according to the Bangor Daily News. For example, the Republican governor, Paul LePage, strongly opposed the current ban because he did not believe the science. Really? Oh, okay. And meanwhile, while your governor in Maine, Paul LePage, is running around with his hair on fire, talking about, this is not science, this is not science, this is not science, Maine lawmakers disagreed and voted 35 to nothing in the Senate and 145 to 3 in the House last year to ban BPA in at least reusable beverage containers. They haven't gotten to the baby food containers yet, but you know what the hell. Babies don't vote, and they can't make campaign contributions. So, you know, we'll get rid of the reusable beverage containers. So once again, here it is. Here it is. A Republican governor says, I don't believe the science. The Democratic lawmakers and some Republican lawmakers say, you're out of your goddamn mind. We're voting this stuff out of the diet of the residents of Maine, including our babies and, of course, our fetuses. And how the Republicans react? We need to get rid of all these restrictions, all these regulations, you know. They're real job killers. That's all they do. They don't do anything. Science isn't complete, isn't in. Gravity is just a theory. The moon is not a quarter of a million miles away. It's just sitting up there about 100 miles up in the air. Ha, 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 ha.
Words I feel that I have spoken, I could waste a thousand years, or I can sorrow words I soak in, come inside and catch my tears. You've been talking about believing, if it's true you do not know.
Cuddle up, truth seekers. Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. So, I guess to sum up, according to the Bangor Daily News, the Bangor, Maine Daily News, and I found this at tvnewslies.org in their daily roundup of, comes out every morning. I'll send you a list of stuff you should know about. And this one was the Bangor Daily News about the Coalition of Maine Health and Environmental Groups trying to get rid of bisphenol A or BPA out of baby food and cans that contain stuff that people like you and I eat. Oh, by the way, this hour is being sponsored by Craig Schwartz. His message, Mike, I enjoy listening to your show. You cause me to think. I don't agree with your point of view most nights, but I do think it is important that your point of view has a chance to be heard. I hope you will accept my contribution. Continued success. Well, thank you, Craig. I'd be curious to know sometime if you want to send me an email which points of view you don't agree with. I'd love to hear it. All I do is, oh, never mind. Maybe this point of view, what we're talking about here, the past half hour. Anyway, the governor, the Republican governor of Maine, opposed the current ban against BPA because he doesn't believe the science. However, the Senate in Maine voted 35 to nothing, and the House in Maine voted 145 to 3 last year to ban BPA in reusable beverage containers. Now, the last word on this, Samantha DePoy Warren, a spokeswoman for the Department of Environmental Protection. And I think that that would be in Maine. She said she could not comment on the rulemaking petition until staff have had a chance to review the proposal, this new rule that the Alliance for Clean and Healthy Maine want to put into effect that totally bans this garbage. But the spokeswoman for the Department of Environmental Protection said the department appreciates the Environmental Health Strategy Center, that's the left-wingers, willingness to pay for product testing and has asked for the detailed results. All right. Oh, and by the way, just a little bit more to the postscript. BPA was banned in new reusable beverage containers sold in Maine beginning January 1st of this year after rules were adopted through the four-year-old state law in Maine known as the Kids Safe Products Act. As part of those rules, manufacturers of baby food, infant formula, and some toys also are required to report to the department whether any of their products contain BPA, and if so, whether there were safer alternative ingredients available. What? Okay, so in other words, if I'm putting poison in something that goes to children, I have to tell you about it, and I have to tell you if there was something safer, but I didn't use it because I'm a capitalist pig and I don't care. I just want to make the money. Now, according to the Bangor Daily News, some companies have been more forthcoming than others about this. There are two baby food manufacturers, Beechnut and Wild Harvest Organics, that have failed, according to the Citizens Group, failed to disclose the use of BPA in components of their packaging. Anyway, Ms. Sears, Amanda Sears, the Associate Director of the Environmental Health Strategy Center, which is a member of the Alliance for Clean and Healthy Maine, Ms. Sears said with the environmental, Ms. Sears said that all of the manufacturers of infant formula have reportedly stopped using BPA in their containers, which she says indicates that alternatives are available in the marketplace. Well, of course. But, of course, there's that one company that says, and a couple of them say, well, you know, we're not going to tell you anything. Well, we'll get it out by October. Now, this is just another in an endless list of examples of organizations, regulatory organizations, whether they are NGOs or run by states or the federal government, regulatory agencies or organizations that the right-wingers, the Republicans, these neo-fascist bastards that are slowly eating the country alive, want to do away with. How many times have you heard it? Every single one of the Republican candidates, except Rick Perry, who couldn't remember his own address, they want to do away. Well, three things I'd get rid of. One, two, but they can give you a list, these right-wingers. Environmental Protection Agency is the first one to go. How many have declared that? Well, on the second day of my presidency, I'll sign an executive order getting rid of the EPA. Really? Really? Is that a good thing? Uh-huh. Then BPA can go into baby food containers and adult food containers, and nobody will be the wiser. And the steady increase or remaining the same of cancer can be attributed to, oh, I don't know, God? Right? The war on cancer has been going on how many years? And cancer death rates remain pretty much the same. The extension of life once one is diagnosed with cancer has been affected. But cancer still kills, and cancer rates still continue and increase. Now, why is that? Is it science, or is it Jesus or God trying to tell the family of the cancer victim, listen, this is a righteous way for you to cleanse yourself of sin? Make me sick. Absolutely sick. Y'all remember Smedley Butler, general, major general, U.S. Marine Corps, two-time Medal of Honor winner. Remember back when he was approached, I'm sure you read about this, I have you? He was approached by right-wingers in this country during Roosevelt's era. They wanted Smedley Butler to lead an armed insurrection against Roosevelt. He was to be murdered, and an alliance with the fascists that were rising in Europe was to be put in place. And Smedley Butler, of course, didn't go along with it. He had taken an oath, unlike right-wingers, unlike the U.S. industrialists who wanted this to happen, the bankers and the capitalists in the United States back in the 30s. Smedley Butler had taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and he also knew that his commander-in-chief was President Franklin Roosevelt. But let me share you something. This is an editorial at TVNewsLies.org written by Alex Baer. Bob Alexander's stuff goes there, and I think Prairie 2 stuff goes to the editorial section of TV News Lies also. Alex writes, back in 1933, an authentic American hero in every possible sense of that word stepped in to rescue the nation from traitors plotting to pull it down. They were going to pull down everything, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, dreams of the founders, everything, all of it, every last bit. The traitors in the United States at the time were bankers, financiers, moneyed interests, and Ocean Away, their German peers, advanced their own man to the front of the feed trough, Adolf Hitler. Here, in the interim, Major General Smedley Butler, United States Marine Corps, had been chosen by those who would wreck us all, torch all of it, for mere money, mere power. But Butler fished them. He angled them from the bank. He toyed with them. He played the line. He beached them all up on his dry banks. He famously said from his book, "War is a racket." He sure knew how to treat racketeers. Now, Alex is writing here a little bit in the style of Smedley Butler. And that's what I found fascinating. But Alex goes on, FDR stopped short of crushing the fascist bankers plotting to pull down the place. He chose instead a number of reforms to try to hold the traitors and the financiers in check. He knew they'd never give up, never would. So even catching one batch of traitors bankers was only a temporary fix at best. No shortage of greedy traitors. There were always more. One of FDR's reforms was the SEC, another the FDIC, and so on. And one certain reform over all others helped keep the schemers in check, the Banking Act of 1933. We know it as Glass-Steagall. The act kept everyday commercial banking functions walled off from investment activities. No casinos allowed. The best you could do there was, well, bank. Really dull stuff, the act. Like area zoning meetings, at least until an all-night casino, strip club, drag strip, drive-through liquor store, go right in next door. Then, not in my backyard, rules. Well, Alex has got more here about Glass-Steagall, and this is a very simple way to understand what Bill Clinton signed off on and why we're in the mess we're in. Stay with us. I love you for all that you. Ten before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Craig Schwartz. Here's this message. Mike, I enjoy listening to your show. You caused me to think. I don't agree with your point of view most nights, but I do think it's important that your point of view has a chance to be heard. I hope you accept my contribution and continued success. Well, thank you, Craig. I appreciate that very much. We're talking about a piece written by Alex Baer It's posted at tvnewslies.org. And it's about Glass-Steagall. That was the so-called Banking Act of 1933 that, so you have to keep in mind, even though Roosevelt knew that the bankers and the industrialists and the capitalists were trying to kill him and destroy the country and form an alliance with Adolf Hitler, FDR took the tack of, okay, I discovered your plot because of the man you went to, General Smedley Butler, had his allegiance to the United States and to the Constitution and to his commander-in-chief, unlike you rat bastards that have your allegiance to capitalism and fascism. But I'll tell you what, instead of putting you all up against the wall and putting bullets in your goddamn heads, I'm going to enact legislation that would try to stop you roaches from doing this ever again. And frankly, it was successful for the next 66 years until the Republican-controlled House under the leadership of Newt Gingrich and the Republican-light president of the United States at the time, Bill Clinton. Now, as Alex Baer writes, Glass-Steagall slipped all the leashes and was repealed on November 4th, 1999. 13 lucky years later, the party's still raging, no sign of a let-up. The banks all take turns at the helm, crashing the economy up on shore where investment houses ride all of our retirement hopes around on roller coasters up and down, whee, and so on and so on. Glass-Steagall was the restraining lid on the vat of sanity we had left. It took the high priests of the heavily moneyed mob, bankers, financiers, speculators, capitalists, corporations, the idle rich, 66 years to pry that lid off. And meanwhile, we had a good run, 66 years of high growth, including the formation of a middle class. And even with wars, the country went booming along anyway, in spite of all that. It was a good run. It took the weasels and traitors 66 years to get the lid off. And now, here we all are. Everything wrecked. Them making and taking money on the ups and on the downs. We have even had to bail them all out from their very own monetary system. These high priests supposedly guarding it all, instead just buggering the books and each other and us all too. Probably it would have taken them less than 66 years to blow the lid on these restraints. But back then, in FDR's time, there were some quaint notions inside of our nation that we all owed each other something, such as respect, and even more, that we'd help each other out. We'd take only what we needed. We made sure to put things back for others. So much more. And, well, imagine that. Back then, news had to have facts, had to pass a common litmus test for sanity, too. Thank goodness legal rulings have said there's no reason that news broadcasts contain truth, that lies and propaganda are all fine. Sure, no problem at all. Thank goodness today you can have live broadcasts from any asylum you like, say or do anything, except these famous few words on the list here. All the usual ones, but we just added some more. No more truth, no more facts. Capitalism's just fine. The bankers know what's best for us. Just remember. So we should toe the bankers and financiers' lines. Good evening. Here's the news. The moon and all the world's oceans have just been kidnapped and taken hostage. No, don't go look. No need to do so. By the socialist, communist, Marxist American government and all the liberal media, sources say the moon and all the world's oceans will be returned unharmed just as soon as all the unions are destroyed, all workers agree to an 85% pay cut, and when all members of the middle class have been eliminated, plus dollar-a-day pay has been reinstated and child labor okayed. Our sources also say that a select group of financiers must also be allowed immediate and unfettered access to the entire Social Security pot, where they will, in Las Vegas, place it all on number 33 for one spin with a 15% hedge bet on red in this shrewd investment move. You want to know who's really flying this battered old cargo plane riddled with bullet holes from FDR's time? Eyes front toward the cockpit. see anyone in there plotting destinations anywhere except for the uber rich and where the corporations want to go? See anybody in there but errand boys of those thugs? See anybody in there making any plans to fly this crazy thing where you and your family and friends want to go? There are only two things we should fight for. One is the defense of our homes, and the other is the Bill of Rights. So said Major General Smedley D. Butler, United States Marine Corps, two-time winner of the Congressional Medal of Honor, personal preventer of a fascist overthrow of the United States of America. Alex Baer, writing at TVNewsLies.org. And I swear he has captured, Alex has captured the vernacular and the style of writing and the rhythm of Smedley Butler himself. It was an astonishing little piece of writing here. Go to TVNewsLies.org, look under the editorials, and find this. It's called The Last Racketeers, Epilogue. Print it off. Keep it. In the meantime, Facebook it. Send it around to your friends. It's that good. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Mike Malloy. Io sì lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me, mio sole, tu sei qui con me.